Well, hello everybody. It is good to be back with you again and giving you another video, hopefully to encourage your heart and lift up your spirit. And I want to encourage you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now here we're going to be looking at two verses that the Apostle Paul gives, kind of in a weird spot. He kind of throws this in toward the end of the letter while he's usually doing his I love this person, pray for this person, I know this person, say hi to this church. And he throws this in, and it's such an encouragement that I want to just lay it out for you. And in it, we get four commands and one manner in which these commands are supposed to be lived out, to be carried out together. So I want you to listen as I read 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. Says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. Four commands and one manner in which these commands are supposed to be carried out. The first command is be on your guard. Now, to be on your guard can also be translated as to be vigilant. And the idea that the Apostle Paul is dealing with specifically is this idea of protecting your mind, of guarding against your understanding and your belief system, because our belief system determines our actions. If we believe that something is good, we do it. If we believe that something is bad, we don't do that. Generally, our beliefs, our understandings, our affirmations about what is valuable. Determine how we live. And so to be on guard can also be translated as to be vigilant. And so the Apostle Paul is telling us, be vigilant. I want you to view everything. And there's so much going on in the world today that is contrary to the Christian faith, contrary to what it means to be a Christian. Panic, by the way, is an example. Selfishness is an example. Hatred or governmental uprising are all contrary to what it means to walk in obedience to the truth. And there are a lot of things that we're called to do, and when we start to miss on something, when we start to live a certain way or do a certain thing or say a certain thing because it makes us feel good, rather than because we've sat down and we've actually been on guard and stood on post over our mind to say, is this what would honor Christ? Is this in line with what it means to be a witness of Jesus Christ in the world? Is this what it means to live in love? Is this what it means to follow after Jesus? Would Jesus do this? When we don't ask those important questions and really guard our minds, then we can easily be snared and tripped up, both by knowing sin as well as by getting caught in sin that we're not even aware of because we're not paying attention, because we're not on guard. We are to guard our minds, not just affirm something or follow with something because some radio personality or some TV personality or even some Christian tells us to do something or think a certain way. We are to always be on guard and to be testing every spirit and to be evaluating these things by the word of God and by the truth of what God has presented to us. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, he says, be alert and of sober mind. The same concept of being on guard, be alert and of sober mind. Then he says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Satan is out there watching you and me, and he is looking for an opportunity to devour us, to catch us in sin, to cause us to hold to a belief that is not true, to follow after something that is not Christ, to live in such a way that we ruin our reputation and we ruin the gospel and we malign our own God. Satan is out there seeking to deceive us and trick us. And we are constantly told in Scripture, be warned that there will be wolves that sneak in among you, trying to deceive you. And so we always, as believers, we need to know the word and we need to be on guard in our minds. always looking to balance all that we're told and all the information that comes at us through Twitter and Facebook and memes and friends and family and pastors even. And we need to be alert and of sober mind to be on guard with all philosophies and all information that comes at us, because Satan is watching and he prowls around looking for someone to devour. And friends, we have no excuse to be devoured, for we have been set free by Christ. And so we need to understand that we are to be on guard to protect our mind and protect our spirit and protect our heart, so that we are not devoured by him, and so that we are defended and we are vigilant to protect our minds, so that we may grow in our love of Christ, so that we may grow in our obedience of him, and so that we may not be caught in sin. And the second thing, the second command that we're given is stand firm in the faith. And here the Apostle Paul is again reminding and showing this active understanding that being a Christian is not about letting go and letting God. We trust in the power of God over us, the providence of God over all things. But we understand that we also have been given a challenge by the equipping and the power of the Spirit in us, that we should be on guard and that we should stand firm in the faith, that we should hold strongly to the original faith, to the faith of the apostles, the faith that was taught by Jesus himself, the faith that was handed down through the church. That we should constantly be standing as reformed and always reforming. Always going back to our faith and saying, it is what we do, do we do it because Christ called us to it, or do we do it for some other reason? Are we standing on the faith and the faith alone? Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Friends, standing firm in the faith is standing firm on the faithful. It's standing firm upon Christ. It's us saying, I trust that my faith is sufficient. I trust that my God is sufficient. I trust that the gospel is enough, that the work of Christ is enough. And so I will not be shaken. I will not allow something to weaken my knees, and so I will be on guard, and I will defend and fight against anything that comes against me that makes my knees in my faith get weak. And instead, I will only allow things to come into my mind and into my heart, things that build up the strength of my knees, so that I may stand firm in the faith. And the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. And here we have these two ideas combined together, the idea of being on guard and the idea of standing firm in the faith. It's this understanding, this tying of these two ideas together, that we are to live freely. And part of living freely is not just throwing all caution to the wind and not having a guard upon the gate, but it's standing vigilantly, protecting our freedoms, standing firm in our faith, so that we are not again burdened by the yoke of slavery. This is what it means for Satan to devour believers, for him to burden us again by the yoke of slavery. And so we need to protect our mind and protect our heart with what we take in and what we affirm and what we live by, so that we are doing these two commands, walking these two commands together, being on guard and standing firm in the faith, pushing out what is unrighteous and clinging to and affirming in our own heart and mind what is true. And that is how we live freely and defend our freedom. So those are the first two commands. The second command is be courageous. And this is this stand of kind of a boldness in the midst of a fight. And sometimes we feel as if the fight that we're fighting is a little bit more than what we can take, what we can live with, what we can defend against. We kind of feel like, you know what, this may be more than we're able to handle. And I get that. I get that people that, you know, feel struggle if they feel like they've been struggling with a sin for years. That sin seems pretty big and pretty strong. Or if there's a temptation in their life, or if there's a tension with a relationship, or an issue with another person, or a lack of forgiveness, or whatever it is, sometimes those sins, those issues in our heart and in our lives can seem pretty daunting, so that we become really meek and small, and we kind of become afraid. Well, what we're called to do, and the command that's given to us here in 1 Corinthians, is to be courageous. Don't be afraid in the fight. Stand up knowing that you can win. David is a great example of this. David, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David hears about the giant Goliath. And Goliath is mocking God and mocking the people of Israel, and people are running from his presence. And then David comes on the scene, and David is not well equipped for this battle. He doesn't have good equipment. He doesn't have armor. He doesn't have a sword. He doesn't have good protection. He doesn't have good training. He wasn't in the military at the time. He was too young. He was forced to stay home with his father and his parents and take care of the menial work at home while his brothers went off to war. The giant is more than twice his size. He's militarily trained. He's a professional killer. He's got great armor and big armor. He's got a sword. He is equipped. If you look from the outside looking in, David has no chance. David is the one who will lose, and Goliath is the one who will win. But yet, despite all of that, despite how it may look and how other people may feel, and even how David might have felt, David's confidence, and David shows us what it means to be courageous in this spiritual war in which we are participating in. In 1 Samuel 17, listen to the way David responds to Goliath before he kills him. David said to the Philistine in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, verses 45 and on, he says, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin." Serious weapons. "But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you all into our hands." David exemplified what it meant to be courageous, even if the odds seem stacked against you. We need to be so courageous. We need to speak truth into darkness. We need to shine the beauty of Christ into the world and say, you know what? From the outside looking in, it seems like we should be falling back. But no. Because the battle is the Lord's, we're going to be courageous and we're going to stand strong and we're going to move forward. We're going to cry out as the Apostle Paul does in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. "Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We will be victorious, and we should pound that on our chest and proclaim it to the world. And we should be courageous in that endeavor, not timid and not afraid, for we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We should be courageous, friends. And the fourth command is be strong. Here the idea is to be vigorous. We are to be vigorous in all of our endeavors. And the vigor is not supposed to come. The strength is not to come from inside us, in the sense of we're not supposed to pull it out of our own depths or find it in ourselves. We're supposed to be strong in the Lord. Psalm 31:24 says, "Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." Take heart, for if Christ is for you, who can stand against you? In Ephesians 6:10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." We are to be strong in his power. knowing that if he is with us, we can conquer, knowing that he is good and faithful, knowing that our God will not be defeated ever. And so these are the four commands that, that the Apostle Paul gives. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. These are great commands and commands given to all of us. But then the Apostle Paul gives us one more thing, and he gives us one manner in which these commands are to be lived out or carried out. He says, do everything in love. Understand that we cannot obey these four commands if we detach them from love. For it is love that helps us to understand how these things should be lived out appropriately. Be on your guard, not in hate or in vengeance or in wickedness or in wrath. Be on guard in love. Stand firm in the faith, not treating others with contempt who don't believe, but stand firm in your faith in love. Be courageous. Be courageous, not backing down to Satan, not getting scared and whimpering in the battle, but instead standing strong and being strong and being courageous, the last two commands, and doing it in love. Do everything in love. This is how we are enabled and equipped to be able to obey these four commands and walk and understand them truly and rightly, so that we do not become champion tyrants, so that we do not become like the old Europeans who are going out on crusades. We need to do all of these things in love. And we're enabled to do these things in love because of what love enables us or equips us to do. In 1 Peter 4:8, it says, above all, love each other deeply, deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. I can be strong and I can be courageous and standing up against an enemy or against a wicked idea or a wicked philosophy or a wicked thought. I can stand guard and stand firm in the faith, but I can do it in love, so much so that the person who is propitiating or pushing forward a bad philosophy or a bad thing, I can chide them in love, and I can correct them in love, and I can lead them to the truth in love. 1 John 3:16 through 18 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Friends, it is love that binds these things together. And we must be people of love who are always standing on guard and standing firm in the faith and doing so in love. Always seeking to share the gospel, always seeking to proclaim the truth and to do so not with hate, not with wickedness, but in love. To be courageous and to be strong in love. So that the purposes of God may advance, and so that we may grow in our joy of him, and the body may be grown in strength and in encouragement. Let me encourage you to take some time today and consider how you are walking in these four commands. Are you staying on guard of your mind and your heart? Are you standing firm in the faith? Or are your knees weak? And if they are you doing things to strengthen them? Are you staying vigilant? If you're wrestling with theology of the church or of the scriptures, are you studying into the scriptures? Are you talking to people who understand more than you do to help you understand better the truth of the faith? Are you being courageous? Are you being strong in the Lord? And then not only how are you doing these four things, but also, how are you doing in tying love to them? and understanding that love needs to bind them all together in unity. How are you doing in these areas? For this is a great opportunity for us to grow and show to the world the truth of the gospel, the truth of our faith, and the power of our God. And so we will not live in fear. We will not be afraid, but we will always love. We will not isolate ourselves so much so that we cannot reach out to the lost or provide food to the hungry. We will show love. For Christ has so generously loved us, how could we not love others in kind? Friend, let me encourage you to look at the four commands that the Apostle Paul gives in 1 Corinthians 16:13. Look at those four commands and then consider how you may walk in obedience to these four commands in love, as God has called us to do. Consider how Jesus walked in obedience to these four commands in love. And seek to live by grace, through faith, in Jesus alone. Seek to walk in obedience to these four things in following after Christ and for the joy set before you, for knowing that the victory is yours. I hope this encourages you. I hope you continue to keep your head up, keep your shoulders back, and keep going forward in this life of faith. And doing it better and better with each new day. I'll see you on Sunday. Bye.